Father, we just thank you for this opportunity we have to come into the presence of the Lord. Lord, and just receive from you. I pray, Father, that every heart be open and receptive to the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that not one person leave out of this building without being strengthened and encouraged in their faith. And Father, inspired, Lord, to go out into this world and to be a leader, to help somebody else along the way. And Father, I just pray that you would help me tonight, Lord, that by the Spirit of the Lord, you'd anoint me, Lord, to speak truth. Lord, to speak life-changing words. Lord, that what I say tonight, Lord, will be from you and only from you. And Lord, that it'll fall on good ground in every heart here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to talk about Enoch tonight. Leadership lessons from Enoch. He's one of the most fascinating people in the whole Bible. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us very much about Enoch, really. It's just a few verses here and there. But what it does tell us, it is absolutely amazing. I'm going to give you a real brief overview of the life of Enoch, of what the Bible does tell us about Enoch. By the way, he is the second person mentioned in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We talked about Abel last week. And Enoch is the next one that's mentioned. Enoch is one of only two people that the Bible specifically tells us that he walked with God. The other one was Noah, by the way. He's one of only two people that the Bible specifically tells us never experienced death. The other was Elijah. I'm telling you, this guy's pretty special. One of only two people that never experienced death. He's one of only two people that the Bible tells us specifically that he pleased God. The other one is the Lord Jesus himself. So I'm telling you, Enoch is an extraordinary man. Jude tells us that Enoch prophesied of the Lord's coming with 10,000s of his saints to judge the ungodly. I mean, this is an amazing thing. Now here's Enoch prophesying about the end times, about the second coming of Christ. And he lived in the fifth chapter of Genesis. Isn't that an amazing thing that here a man that early in history is prophesying about things we have not even seen yet? Prophesied of the Lord's return with 10,000s of his saints. How could he know such things? When you're looking to the scripture for principles on leadership, I know it's a little bit strange that I'm talking about another guy, you know, like we talked about Abel. Here's another guy that, at least in scripture, we don't see any proof that he had some big following. So why would you talk about lessons on leadership from Enoch? Because there are three things, three qualities that Enoch had that all Christian leaders, all spiritual leaders, all leaders have to have. Three qualities that every spiritual leader must possess. I want this to be really clear. If you don't possess these three qualities, you can't be a spiritual leader. Here's the first. Every spiritual leader has to have faith. I know we talked about this one last time when we talked about Abel, and I'm going to leave it alone, but I'm just telling you that this is so critical. We got to get this. And the Bible, you know, we got to major on the things the Bible majors on. And I'm telling you, all of the great men and women of God, here's something they all had in common. They were all people of great faith. They were all people who believed God. And here's what the Bible tells us. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Now, this is a little bit of a strange thing, and nobody really understands this completely. There's a lot of conjecture about it, but how is it that Enoch, by faith, was taken away? I mean, was he just actually believing God that he was going to be taken? You know, that could be. Or it may just be that as he walked with God by faith, he pleased God so much, and it was just his lifestyle of faith that God just took him. But here's what it says. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, I'm not going to keep making this point over and over, but I am going to really make it tonight, all right? To be a leader, you have to be a person of faith. Listen, the crowd, the rabble, the masses are always going to be doubting, talking unbelief, always saying, you can't do that, you can't do that, that won't work. Are you listening to me? The leaders, I'm talking about spiritual leaders. Again, every time I say leaders in here, I'm talking about spiritual leaders. The leaders are always going to be the people of faith who are saying, this is what God said. The leaders are always going to be the people saying, we can do it. If God's for us, who can be against us? The leaders are always going to be the people who have a positive outlook, who have a good report, who are walking in faith. Remember, the 12 spies come back from the promised land. 10 of them come back with a bad report. Only Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. Now, I want to remind you of something about all 12 of them. They were all 12 chosen leaders of the people. They weren't just like 12 guys. They just said, oh, you 12 will do. No, they picked 12 leaders of the people. These were considered to be the best of the best. And yet 10 of them came back with a faithless, unbelieving report, listen to me, that condemned over 1 million people to die in the wilderness. 2 of them came back with a faith report that said, we are well able. I'm telling you, this is the kind of leaders that God wants. People who will say, we're well able. People of faith. Now, keep this in mind. Those two leaders are the leaders that led the children of Israel into that promised land 40 years later. The rest of them were all dead and gone. It was those who had faith. And I just want you to see tonight how important it is as a leader that we have faith. Leaders see not just what is, but what can be. They see with eyes of faith. Leaders say, we can do it. Spiritual leaders stand on the Word of God no matter what circumstances look like. Now, Enoch walked with God. You can't walk with God without faith. Again, I want you to understand how important it is that you have this quality of faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Listen, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to walk by faith. You're not walking around seeing God in front of you, are you? No, you're walking with God by faith. It says, 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen you love, though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And here's what he's saying, that even though we don't see God, we believe. Even though we don't see him, we love him. And you see, that's the way it was for Enoch. How could Enoch walk with God? Because he believed. Enoch pleased God. You can't please God without faith. We already read it right there in Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. I'm telling you, our Father wants us to trust him. He wants us to take him at his word. He wants us to see beyond the natural. Have faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Enoch pleased God because he had faith. I want you to understand that it's Enoch's faith that caused him to live a life that was so extraordinary that we're still talking about it today, thousands of years later. Now, that's influence. That's leadership. When you're still having an impact thousands of years later, every spiritual leader has to have faith. The second thing, the next quality every spiritual leader has to have is a personal relationship with God. I'm telling you, this is the ABCs of leadership. This is the simplest, most basic principles you can possibly come to on spiritual leadership. Number one is faith. Number two is have a relationship with God. This is what the Bible tells us about Enoch. He walked with God. That's all about a relationship, a closeness that he had with God. Genesis 5:21 through 24 says, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And after he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. That's a long time, isn't it? And had sons and daughters, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, if you read Genesis chapter 5, it's really interesting because it tells us, you know, kind of the genealogy there leading up to Enoch and then after. And each person that it names eight different times, it concludes their life this way. And he died. And he died. And he died. And he died. And then there's Enoch. And it never says, and he died. It says, and he was not, for God took him. I'm telling you, this man stood out in the crowd in history. Because here you got all these people, ordinary lives, and he died. Enoch was an ordinary man. But because he walked with God, he became an extraordinary man. Enoch didn't die like other men because he didn't live like other men. He walked with God. I believe part of this walking with God, I think that if you're going to walk with God, you have to have a constant awareness of the presence of the Lord. I think Enoch had to have had that, that everywhere he went, it wasn't just Enoch, it was God and Enoch. If we're going to walk with God, we got to have that awareness that God is with me everywhere I go, everything I do. See, if that truth really becomes a part of you, it'll change you. It'll change the way you look at things. It'll change the way you look at trouble and conflict. It'll change the way you look at challenges. It'll change the way you look at blessings. It'll change the way you look at people. If you are constantly aware that you are walking with God, that God is with you every second, and you're communing with Him and fellowshipping with Him, I'm telling you, here's a quality that every spiritual leader has to have, a personal relationship with God. And you know, to really walk with God, you got to be in agreement with God. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And I want you to understand, you see, some people misconstrue that and they, you know, they always divide people by saying, well, if we disagree on one thing, we can't walk together. That is a lie from Satan to try to divide people. What it's talking about, if two people are going to go the same direction, if they're going to walk together, they got to agree to walk together. And if you're going to go with God, if you're going to walk with God, I'm telling you, you're going to have to go His way. You're going to have to walk with Him. He doesn't change. We got to agree with God. We got to get in agreement with the Lord and obey the Lord. We got to do things His way. Now, here's the point I'm wanting to make here. If we're going to really walk with God, I'm telling you, it's about relationship. But you see, in our culture and the generation we're living in right now, there are a lot of people who have made up their own God and have their own, you know, they've made up their own religion. They got made up their own God, so you can make up your own religion. And I'm telling you, most of what I'm talking about has the name Jesus stamped on it. But it's a Jesus that will just accept whatever they do. Here's the point I want to make to you, that if we're really going to walk with God, yes, it's about a relationship, but to really walk with God in relationship, we need to obey God. We need to live for God. Listen to this verse from 1 John 1:6. We always quote 1 John 1:9. Oh, I love that verse. I preach that verse all the time. Here's one I seldom preach, but it needs to be preached. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We lie and do not practice the truth. Boy, that'll preach. Well, not really, Pastor. Let's preach that 1 John 1:9. That's the one we love to hear. But here's a truth that we need in our culture today, that when people say that they're close to God, that they're walking with God, but they're not walking in the light, they're not walking in obedience, they're not really walking with God. Enoch lived in an ungodly generation. Think about this. He lived in the generation that was right before Noah. And in Noah's generation, God looked at man and his heart was on evil all the time. And that's why he brought the flood. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But I just want you to realize that Enoch lived in a wicked, immoral generation. And yet he walked with God. He was different. He had a closeness with the Lord. He didn't go with the crowd. He went with God. You know what? We need to hear that message in our culture. Don't go with the crowd. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Come on, parents. That's what we always tell our kids, right? What a stupid reason to do something. But yet, so often, it seems that that's right where a lot of people are. Just kind of going along with what everybody else is doing around them. And I'm telling you, we can't go with the crowd if we're going to go with God. We got to be willing to walk with God no matter what the crowd's doing. And you know what? This is really, I think, what happened with Enoch is he had such a closeness with the Lord. Can you imagine what it'd be like to walk with the Lord for 300 years? See, some of us, we've been walking with the Lord for, at least to some degree, for 20, 30 years, maybe 40, 50. We think, man, we've known the Lord a long time. 300 years he walked with God. And I think he just got so close to God that one day God just said, come on up. But you know what? That's what the Lord wants with all of us. Is a closeness, a personal relationship with us. Here's why our relationship with God is so important in leadership. First of all, that's where we want to lead people, is into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with God. If we want to lead people to know God, we ourselves have to know God. If we're not influencing those around us to be closer to God, what are we doing? I'm talking about spiritual leadership. If we're not influencing other people and helping them get closer to God, then what are we doing? That ought to be the main thing that we desire to do, is help other people in their walk with God, help other people come into a personal relationship with God. So our relationship with God is so important. Number two, it's our personal relationship with the Lord that makes us a leader. Listen, in the kingdom, none of us is a leader just because we look good. In the kingdom, none of us is a leader just by sheer personality. No, I'm telling you, it is our relationship with God that makes us a leader. We need to be able to say like Paul did, follow me as I follow the Lord. And it's when we're walking with God that we're able to lead others in the right way. See, if we're just doing our thing, we're not going to help anybody. We got to have that closeness with the Lord so that other people can follow us and get closer to the Lord. Number three, this is why it's so important that we have a close relationship with God in our leadership, is that He is our source. John 15, Jesus makes it so clear that it is our relationship with Him, that as we abide in Him, that out of that, we become fruitful and effective. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. It's John 15 and 5. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, you know, those 12 guys, 11 of them became great leaders. Some of them were unlearned. Some of them were troublemakers. Some of them were just scum of the earth. I mean, if you were a tax collector like Matthew was, that's what you were considered, to be the scum of the earth. But he made leaders out of these guys. And I want you to understand that it was because of their relationship with him. It wasn't them. It was Jesus. And he says, as we abide in him, then we become fruitful. But apart from him, we can do nothing. He is our source of wisdom. We look to the Lord to know what to do. Listen, if you're ever in any kind of position of leadership at all, and I'm talking about not just in the church, but in business, even in your home. You got some kids, you're a leader, let me tell you. And how are you going to lead if you don't have any wisdom? But we don't just want the world's wisdom. And I'm telling you, it is out of our relationship with God that we receive wisdom. That it's because we know him that we know what to do. See, it's only as we receive wisdom from God that we can help somebody else find their way. He is our source of direction. See, it's out of our relationship with him that we receive supernatural revelation. Think about this again. Enoch, how could he receive such a prophecy of something thousands and thousands of years in the future? He walked with God for 300 years. See, God doesn't reveal things like that to just anybody. But he walked with God for 300 years. Jesus told the disciples, if you obey me, then you really are my friends. And he says, and I will reveal everything to you that the Father has revealed to me. And I'm just telling you, the closer you get to God, the more that he reveals things to you. And this isn't just for, I'm going to tell you straight up, pastors need this. Pastors need this. They need to hear from God. They need revelation. They need to know what to do. So do moms and dads. How can a dad know exactly what to do in a difficult situation? You know, there's a lot of things in life when you can really make a mess just doing it your way, you trying to figure it out on your own. But when you're walking with God and you're hearing from God, I'm telling you, you can get revelation, you can get direction, and know exactly what you need to do in that situation. That's an amazing thing. Number three, he's the source of he's the source of our confidence. I want you to understand what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about self-confidence, because the Bible said, Jesus said it very plainly, without him, we can do nothing. So our confidence is not in our abilities, but it's in him. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. See, a leader has to be able to show people the way. When there's so many voices out there, so many choices in life, and it can be so confusing, how can we know the way? You see, we can be confident because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I just have to put this in there. If you want to put a little D there, or if you just want to add it under that. But I just want you to understand this, that in Jesus being our source as a leader in ministry, all ministry flows out from him. He is the source. We are just the branches. But it's him that is the source. And so anything that we do that helps change or impact the life of another, it came from the source. We were just the vessel or just the channel that it came through. So our relationship with him is so critical if we're going to be a leader. See, it's as we walk with him that we are set apart. It's our closeness with him that makes us different, not our talent or abilities or strengths or gifts. No, it is our closeness with him that makes the difference. Enoch was an ordinary man that walked with God, and that made him very extraordinary. The third leadership quality every leader must possess is that they please God. Hebrews 11:5. Tells us that Enoch pleased God. Before he was taken away, he had this testimony that he pleased God. True leaders are not people pleasers. They're God pleasers. Some leaders act like, try to live like, Life is a popularity contest. They just want to make everybody happy. They just want to do what everybody wants them to do. I just want you to hear this now. Listen, that's what destroyed King Saul. He just wanted to appease the people, wanted to keep the people happy. That's why Pilate had Jesus crucified, was to please the people. He knew that Jesus was innocent, but he had him crucified anyway because he just wanted to please the people. But if we're going to be a true spiritual leader, we have to be willing to do what pleases God, even if nobody else likes it. You'll find a lot of people in positions of leadership, but if they're following the crowd, they're not leaders. See, listen to me carefully. Leaders don't follow the crowd. If you're following the crowd, you're not a leader, you're a follower. And we're all supposed to be followers of Jesus, but listen, if you're just going along with the crowd, even if you're in a position of leadership, you're not a leader, you're being a follower. Leaders have to please God. This is an amazing principle, I'm telling you, that Enoch lived. And it's one of the three that you cannot be a spiritual leader without this principle that you please God. We live in a Western world with these strong ideals of democracy. And in fact, it's so strong, some of you, I'm probably going to rub you the wrong way right now, but I'm going to preach the Bible and please God instead of preaching what's popular and pleases people. So y'all just love me anyway, all right? Or pray for me or something, because I'm pretty messed up over this. But I'm just telling you, in our world, we actually want leaders. Who will do what the people want. Come on, that sounds really good, right? I mean, that's even kind of what we say. We want to elect leaders who will do what the people want. Now, that may work in a secular government and society. But I'm telling you that in spiritual leadership, that does not work. If that works, if Moses would have listened to the children of Israel, they would have all gone back to Egypt and been put to death or back into slavery. They wanted to stone Moses. They were so mad at him. They hated him. They couldn't believe that he was taking them out in this wilderness. And I'm just telling you, what we really need in leadership is people who are willing to do the unpopular thing sometime. Now, I want you to hear me. Here's the key. It's pleasing God. See, well, let me just give you this. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1:10, if I were still trying to please men, this is the NIV, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be the servant of Christ. And I think it's interesting the way the NIV words that also, because it says, if I were still trying to please men. In other words, evidently, Paul used to be a people pleaser. Back when he was a religious zealot and he was just persecuting the church, see, he was a people pleaser. But he says, now that I'm not trying to please people, he says, I'm the servant of Christ. If you're going to really be the servant of Christ, you can't be a people pleaser. See, even as he's writing this to the Galatians are trying to go back to some of the law and telling the Gentiles that they've got to be circumcised. And so Paul comes in and, listen, he doesn't say the popular thing. He doesn't tell them what they want to hear. He's not trying to win friends. But instead, he's trying to please God. And so he tells them the truth. And I'm telling you, church, we need that in our generation. People that will tell the truth, that will speak the truth in love. People that will do the right thing, even if it's not the popular thing. See, let me tell you something. I learned as a youth pastor. As a youth pastor, I wanted to be friends with all the young people. But I wasn't called to be their friend. I was called to be their youth pastor. And I got a little clue for some of you parents now. It's great if you can be your child's best friend. I think that's wonderful. But you've been called to be their parent first. And if they get mad at you and don't want to be friends with you anymore because you're doing the right thing, that's okay. They may hate you for a little while, they'll love you later. But you got to do the right thing. I'm telling you, some parents in this generation just absolutely blow it because they're afraid of their kid not liking them. Now, I want you to understand as leaders, if we're going to lead anyone, we can't alienate everyone. And I have to say this, some people go around with a chip on their shoulder and they think that it's their job in life to offend everybody in the name of Jesus. And I just, you know, some people get this attitude like, you know, well, I'm doing the right thing, I don't care. That is not what I'm talking about. You see, here's the whole issue. You please God. You please God. You're not looking to offend anybody. In fact, you want to win everybody. You want to get, Paul says, I've become all things to all men that I might win some. See, it wasn't about his personal agenda. It was all about him pleasing God. And so I don't want to see anybody get this, you know, harsh attitude where, you know, I'm doing the right thing. I don't care if anybody likes it. You're not pleasing God. But when we really are trying to please the Lord, we just have to be ready for that sometimes we're going to be unpopular. I want to tell you, Jesus is the greatest leader that ever lived, and they crucified him. So sometimes you got to be willing to be unpopular if you're going to be a leader. If you're always just doing what the crowd wants, you're not a leader, you're a follower. And not only will it destroy you, but it'll hurt the people that you should have been leading. I see I'm getting long-winded tonight. I'm going to wrap this up. Here's the right question to ask in any situation that you face. What would please the Lord? If you get an answer to that question, you got the right direction to go. Because I'm telling you, that's always the right thing to do. What would please the Lord? If you don't know what would please the Lord, go back to that second point. What was it? You got to have a relationship with God. You got to walk with God. In other words, what I'm saying to you is you need to spend time with the Lord. If you don't know what to please Him in a certain situation, you need to pray about it. You need to seek God. Ephesians 5:10 in the NIV says, find out what pleases the Lord. Now, you know, we've all heard this attitude in the world. Well, you can't please everybody, so you just got to please yourself. I want you to know that's not from the Bible. The Bible says that we got to please God. And I just want to encourage you, make this a quality in your life that you seek to please God in everything that you do. Who was that other person that the Bible says pleased God? It was Jesus. Jesus Himself. The Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But John 8:29, Jesus said, I always do the things that please Him. Oh, that we could say that, to be able to say, I always do what pleases Him. Three principles I want you to remember from the life of Enoch. Number one is he was a man of great faith. Number two is that he walked with God. He had a relationship with God, a closeness with God. Number three is that he pleased God. That was his testimony, that he pleased God. Now I'm telling you, if we develop these three qualities in our life, I want you to understand, having these three qualities doesn't necessarily make you a leader over a great number of people. I'm telling you though that it will make you an influencer on somebody's life. You can't live like that. You can't have those qualities in your life and not make a difference, not make an impression on the life of somebody. But every spiritual leader has to have those three qualities. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray and just conclude our service tonight. And I just believe in the Lord that He's raising up leaders. Leaders in the church. Godly leaders. Moms and dads in homes. Amen. We need that in this generation. I'm telling you, that's the answer. Leaders. Spiritual leaders, even in the workplace. Spiritual leaders, even in the government. Church, that's what we need, that God raise up spiritual leaders. Father, I just thank you for that. Lord, we're just praying and believing, Lord, that in this room tonight, Lord, that your hand is upon these men and women, young people. Lord, that you are raising up spiritual leaders. I just pray, Father, that they'll just continue to learn and to grow, Lord, and grow stronger every day. And Father, that you'll bring people across our path that we can help along the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you. Lord bless you. If you need special prayer tonight, I'd be glad to pray with you, but you're dismissed.